Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to GVN's Talking Comics Interview, your GVN home for what's happening in comics. On today's show, we welcome two of the creative forces behind the upcoming film documentary, The Legend of Kingdom Come, producer Sal Abinanti, and director Remzi Attassi. Now here's your host, Martin Sexton.
Welcome to another edition of GVN Talking Comics. I am your host, Martin, and today we have the pleasure of talking to two of the creative forces behind the upcoming documentary, The Legend of Kingdom Come, a behind-the-scenes look at the iconic comic series by Alex Ross and Mark Waid, which is coming soon to Kickstarter. So let's welcome executive producer and artist Sal Abinanti and director Remzi Attassi to GVN Talking Comics. How are we doing today, guys?
Great, man.
Great.
All right. So like I said, since I have had an opportunity to talk to Sal previously about his books, The Hostage and Anatomica God is Red, I'm going to start out with you, Remzi. What first interested you in filmmaking, and whose work inspired you to possibly to pursue that creative film work?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up loving films and kind of making short films and things like that since I was a teenager. And then, you know, you kind of follow your sort of different paths. But I was always very interested in it and always kind of making my own projects. And then maybe about 10 years ago, I started to get more serious about trying to make feature films, which is a long process, takes a lot of time, takes a lot of money. And so it's you got to be patient. And so I produced and directed and produced a narrative feature called Bad Animal about 5 years ago. And then I've got a few other projects in the wings, and this one, which we've been working on for about 5 years. So this is kind of the next one. But the stuff that inspired me, I mean, it's all over the map. And I mean, obviously, this is a documentary, and there's some amazing documentary filmmakers out there who I love, like Werner Herzog, or some of the kind of verite stuff that they used to shoot on film. More broadly, the classics and especially a lot of foreign film. That's the stuff that really interested me. But this is a story about Alex and comics, you know, so it's a bit different.
Okay, so during your career, Remzi, you know, you started your own company, RA Imaging, and you have worked, I think I read that you have worked with Alex and Bill Sienkiewicz before. Oh, yeah. How did those opportunities come about, and do you feel like those might have prepared you for this film?
Definitely. I mean, so that's my then segue into comics is that I met these guys about, I don't know, maybe 8-9 years ago. Sal I met, and he reached out to me to work on some film projects with Alex. You know, I was just kind of a filmmaker, and he was trying to start to develop some content for their channels. And so I actually learned about comics, really, I would say, through guys like Alex and Bill, who we've worked with for a long time. And so when I was working with Alex and discovering his work, I kind of saw this path where this would be a really interesting subject for a documentary. And as I learned more about comics and I became more familiar with his work, like I had read comics as a kid and I had read the sort of classic, like seminal graphic novels. But the kind of more detailed stuff with the characters, I wasn't as familiar with. And then seeing all this through Alex's eyes and then also discovering so much of the other stuff that's going on there. I was just like, yes, super fascinating subject. And Kingdom Come is obviously a really pinnacle work for Alex.
Absolutely. Okay, so Sal, of course, you've been friends and business partners with Alex for quite a while. So when did the idea of maybe making this behind the scenes documentary for Kingdom Come start brewing? Obviously, it's been 4 or 5 years, at least from what I just heard. And were Alex and Mark all in from the beginning?
Well, as we were moving forward, I realized the world is changing fast when it comes to content, and we wanted to explore things a little more ambitious. We wanted to do some video clips, and we wanted to do some interviews, and people wanted to see more of a hands-on content about Alex. And then when Remzi and I started working together, we always kind of thought, hey, let's keep this getting more and more ambitious. And let's try to eventually do longer format. And then longer format led to let's do a documentary. And initially it was kind of let's do just one on Alex. And then that didn't really kind of, you know, stir anyone's soul. So then we kind of thought, hey, what about Kingdom Come? Because we realized that was the gauge that everybody wanted with Alex. So we talked, you know, Alex was cool because was his baby. Kingdom Come was always his baby. And then Mark, you know, Alex kind of said, look, we have to have Mark. And we're like, well, of course. So when Remzi and I sat down to talk about how we were going to sort of, you know, begin a narrative, it just kind of started, you know, no big shock. It started with Alex and Mark.
Okay. So, and I noticed, you know, we've been scanning just a little bit of the, like the video clips talking about with the Kickstarter getting ready to start up. I mean, you got some great artists and writers that you have interviewed, you know, like Tom McFarlane, of course, Mr. Sakevich, Amanda Connor, Paul Dini. Did you have a set? So when you started out, did you have kind of a set, you know, besides, of course, Alex and Mark, did you have a set list of people that you wanted to talk to? Or did once people found out, they approached you about it?
No, Remzi and I talked about, Remzi had a lot more, you know, experience with working with directly with people during interviews with docs, with documentaries. And you find that, yeah, you sort of put together a wish list, but then it doesn't always work out that way. Some people are busy. Sometimes you can't get the schedules to flow. But yeah, people were surprisingly, 9 out of 10 were receptive and said, cool, let's do it. But then, you know, you just, the other ones that declined, usually it was a scheduling thing, but overall people were really cool and wanted to be part of it.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, so Remzi, you're also serving as the film editor. Is that a task that you prefer to take on your films, or do you have any reluctance to let someone else edit something that you've done?
Well, I kind of got started in the business as an editor, doing commercials and things like that. And so so I have a lot of experience doing it, and I've worked both ways. And there's a team that works on this with me as well. So I'm not just totally in isolation. I think I love working with other editors. I found with this documentary, and this is the first feature documentary that I've done, that being able to get right in there and work on it, especially since I kind of have the technical ability, just felt like a necessity. And so we had so much footage because we did probably over 30 interviews and, you know, hundreds of hours of material. And so having a team that could help work that is really important. But also I think having that vision that you can kind of maintain from the beginning to the end is key. And part of it is going through this massive archive of images, because like Sal scanned thousands of images that he had, you know, in his archive, sketches, thumbnails, ideas that go back decades from Kingdom Come. And so having that like institutional knowledge of like, okay, there's this stuff, and then there's the book and the sketches. And then we were kind of bringing this stuff to life with a new 3D treatment, and we were kind of enhancing all the images. And there's a lot of cool versions, I won't say full animation, but animated versions of stuff from the book, scenes, but also Alex's process. So in the end, editing it just seemed like it made the most sense.
Okay. So Sal, you know, I know the one thing that Alex is very adept at is his willingness to share with his fans how he does things and the thought processes behind it. Was there any part of this document that Alex had previously touched on in previous social media posts, or was it all new from the beginning?
I mean, we kind of in doses, yeah. But I think the whole point of why we thought we had something cool here was not only were we able to approach Kingdom Come, but I was involved with Kingdom Come like from before it became a graphic novel, when Alex and I were just friends and we were at the bar and he was talking about the origin of what he wanted to do and the models and all the behind the scenes stuff. So we felt, yeah, there was a lot of it had been touched on, but more of it hadn't been touched on. You know, the script, the thumbnails, like Ramsey said, the working with the models, the working with his father, the overall motivation behind it. And also it's, you know, past, you know, before, during, and then after, its influence on how it's still, you know, many of the elements in it still resonate today. And that was kind of, we thought, okay, we've got a beginning, a middle, and an end here, where people have only just kind of seen little patches of it.
Right. Okay. So as far as soundtrack go, who did you peg to supply some of the music for the documentary?
Yeah. So it's almost all original composition that came from our team. So I actually work a lot with my brother, Rami, who he composed my last film and a bunch of my projects. But then we brought in a team that did the arranging, and it's got kind of a cool orchestral sort of feel. So it's all composed original to the film. And then there's also some classical stuff that we bring back in there.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Now, Sal, you and I have talked about this briefly before, as you just had segued into that Alex used models for his illustrations. You know, he used his father for Reverend Norman McKay.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Kay and Frank Casey is Superman, and he used you for Captain Marvel. So when you were doing this, I mean, you know, when you were modeling for Alex and doing this, did you have any idea this series would capture the reader's imagination in a sense that it has? I mean, literally, you were a part of comic history in this.
No, none. I got to be honest. I had absolutely zero. I was helping a guy out. We weren't even really working together at the time. We met. We'd known similar people. We'd worked at Leo Burnett, but in different departments. And he's like, hey, are you familiar with Captain Marvel? And I really wasn't, because I was a Marvel guy. I wasn't a DC guy. So I said, no, I'm not familiar with the character at much other than the TV show. And I thought it was a ridiculous costume. And he's like, because I really want, and I didn't know what he wanted. So then when I saw him working with some of the other guys as different characters or kind of just background characters and stuff like that, I said, sure. You know, he's an artist. I want to help the guy. He was very ambitious and, you know, very, you know, focused on what he wanted. And he showed me some thumbnails and I said, okay, I understand, you know, photo reference type of approach. And then when we met, he took it to the umpteenth degree of seriousness. He had the costumes made and he was lighting it a certain way. And his thumbnails were very, very detailed. And so this was, he took it very seriously. I think I wasn't sure how this was going to go, but then when it came out, then it was years, well, not years, but it was quite a bit of time from when we took the photos to when the book came out. But I had no idea the reaction when the book came out, that people, to this day, I can't do a show where someone doesn't ask me to sign, you know, something related to Captain Marvel. It's kind
he of- was the Captain Marvel on Wikipedia until there was Shazam, the movie Shazam. Sal was all, for decades, he was, you looked up Captain Marvel and that was Sal, basically.
It's a little weird, but it's calmed way down. But when the book came out, it was a little ridiculous, I have to admit.
So he didn't show you the finished illustration of you as Captain
No,
Marvel before
nothing.
the book came out?
No, I didn't realize it until I was at a con in New York, and one of the editors said, "Hey, Sal, have you seen this?" And I said, "No." And then I saw he showed me some of the stuff, and I said, "Oh, wow, okay, cool." And then people immediately wanted me to sign Kingdom Come, and I was like, "Oh, okay." Yeah.
Yeah, I would have seen that. I said, man, I look good.
I didn't. It was a little weird. I mean, if they were funny about it, it would have been a little more entertaining, but they were a little weird about it. Like people were starting to kind of, take it a little too seriously. I'm like, guys, it's just a
Well, that's
I'm
comic
Italian
fans.
guy from the north side of Chicago. I'm not Captain Marvel. I'm not Bill Batson.
Well, you would say that if you were Captain
They started
Marvel.
calling me Billy Batson, which got a little annoying after a while.
Well, I could understand that. Okay, so as I mentioned, the project is being brought to Kickstarter, and I know from experience that how you know how to do a Kickstarter campaign because in both your campaigns for The Hostage and Atomica, matter of fact, I gave you the award for best bang for the buck for a Kickstarter because you give fans a whole lot of extra stuff
Thank you.
involved. So that being said, so what can fans expect in this particular campaign?
The same thing, only more. I mean, we knew that. I mean, started at the beginning, it was about this is a great opportunity because you can reach a unique independent audience through Kickstarter that is perfect for what we do. We like that one-on-one relationship with the fan base. And I hadn't realized how much of an indie film community there was on Kickstarter and through crowdfunding. And Ramsey could speak to it more than me because he had done that with his film, Bad Animal. But we also realized, hey, that audience wants a lot of that stuff. They want unique items. They want a unique experience and to kind of feel that one-on-one with the creator. So we're going to offer, everything from trading cards to lithographs to statues to one of a kind or very unique limited edition versions of the Blu-ray. You can go get any or all approaches. But the bottom line was, and Ramsey and I agreed with this from the start, was we want you to get the film. We want you to be able to have access to the film and see the film.
So this is going to be the way for the fans to get the film. And I mean, I think that there's two parts with Kickstarter. One is with the fans, like we love being able to have a direct relationship with them and being able to give them what they want and hear from them what they like. And the fact that you said that, and because I was kind of involved a little bit on some of those campaigns with Sal too, where it's like being able to really deliver on what you promise is key and being able to give people a great experience. And then I think on the other side, we've really tried to make a film that is for the fans, but also really tells a story that I think is interesting for a general audience too, because we kind of tell the story of comics as it leads to Kingdom Come. So much of that book is a reference point to other stuff in comics that you maybe wouldn't even get if you weren't like a really big fan. So we really try to go through and tell that whole story up to now, where the influence of comics, and I would say Kingdom Come on especially the DC universe, but just the influence of comics and pop culture. So huge. So looking at how it is now versus then. So those are all parts of the story that we want to tell. And we're excited because Kickstarter is going to let us bring it right to the fans, but also we can kind of bring some of that new film audience in and give them a great experience.
Okay. So at this point, do you have a finish time for the film? Actually, as far as when do you figure that it will be
Oh.
available to disperse?
So we're saying spring of 25. The film is more or less done. It's cooked. It's from this aspect, it's going to be getting ready to do all the fulfillment from the Kickstarter. And then also the Kickstarter is going to be helping us produce some of these final elements that we're going to be delivering the Blu-ray and such and being able to get to deliver the rewards. But yeah, the film is pretty much done. And there's a lot of really great stuff that's in the campaign, whether it's posters or Blu-rays, all kinds of exclusive stuff. And for people who join us on the journey of Kickstarter, we're going to have some really great stuff as you kind of travel along with us through our campaign that starts on September 24th.
Well, I knew one of the things that I got from Sal's campaign for Atomica was a hand-painted postcard thing that was just really cool.
Yeah.
And I,
I got one of those too, because I was a backer.
yeah, so that was awesome. Okay, so That's pretty much what I have for you. But and of course, as going through all those things, my bank account's going ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Because so I'm going to be supporting it. But and I want to
Right.
thank you both again for sharing a bit of your time with us. But before I let you go, I want to give you one last opportunity to share about The Legend of Kingdom Come and its upcoming Kickstarter.
The Legend of Kingdom Come is a behind the scenes. It's really what we felt was delivering what Alex's fan base is and the Kingdom Come fan base has been asking for years, for the last 20 years, in every comment section and every post we've ever done, which is, can we get more about Kingdom Come, the behind the scenes of Kingdom Come, and the creation of the book, everything from soup to nuts. And Remzi and I worked really, really hard on this over the last 5 years, and every interview, every piece of animation, every piece of film, kind of it's made the film is made for the fans. It's made for the fan base, and we really feel we delivered with this. It's a great film.
And I would say if you're a fan of Alex Ross, if you're a fan of Kingdom Come, if you're a comic fan, this film is definitely for you. I also think that if you're into pop culture, if you like stories that kind of that can go into a topic and really show you what it's all about, cool documentaries that can kind of shine a light on maybe something you haven't seen before, this doc also is a great fit for that because comics is an amazing world that I don't think even some people who love the characters, they don't really fully comprehend what goes into it. And this is kind of like tells that story and goes all the way back into the history of comics. And so we're really excited to get this to the fans.
Yeah, so I wasn't going to ask about, but now that I'm thinking about, since you've done this documentary, could you see doing something else, maybe like for the Marvels or something like that, or maybe with someone different other than Alex?
Yeah, that's kind of the thought, but to be honest, there's so much has gone into this one that our focus is this doc, getting it out, getting it to the people, but also order fulfillment, the fulfillment of getting the film and getting the product to everyone. It's really not done until it's done, and we realize order fulfillment is 99%. If you've got a good product, that's great, but the fan base is not gonna doesn't really want to hear your excuses if you're not delivering what you're promising, and that's we take a lot of pride in that, and that's what we're here to do. And right now, it's all about the Legend of Kingdom Come.
Absolutely.
All right, very good. All right. Well, again, I thank you guys, and we'll be following this along real closely, especially when the Kickstarter kicks off. I'll be one of the first to jump on it,
Thank you.
and hopefully, we'll
Thank
get a
you.
chance to talk, connect with you guys here in the future.
Anytime.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for listening to GVN Talking Comics. Please come back again. GVN Talking Comics is a production of Geek Vibes Nation.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.